Welcome to the Faith Element Podcast for the November 18, 2018 session, focusing on 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 through 10, Seeking God in the Margin. I'm David Cassidy.
I'm Nikki Hardiman.
And I'm Crystal Shepherd.
Well, we are down to three tonight. Daniel needed to be away this week, and Bert came down sick today. So we hope that Bert feels better soon, and that Daniel is back soon.
But, yes.
And I think this is the second time for Bert, so bless his heart. Yeah. He's trying to work his way through the bugs this year, I guess. I don't know. But get well, Bert. We miss you. This is a lot more fun than being sick. So,
absolutely.
So I'm here with Nikki Hardiman and Crystal Shepherd, and I'm outnumbered. And but I think we're in incredibly good hands tonight. So before we jump in and get started, I just had to say I was out running errands the other day, and fall is my favorite time of year. And I literally had to pull off the road because there was this line. We have these shrubs in Kentucky that people call the burning bush shrubs.
Oh, wow.
Which apparently, if they're out in the sunshine in the fall, they will turn like bright red. Mm-hmm. So there was this bright red row of shrubberies and this huge bright orange, blaze orange tree right above it. And it was just so beautiful. And so, I try to enjoy autumn where I can, and those were just gorgeous. So I don't know. What do you enjoy about this time of year?
I was snapping some pictures of some burning trees here. Now, we don't have them burning quite as brightly as you probably do in Kentucky. I was actually thinking driving home today that I thought I would have seen more changing leaves, but I do love to see the way the leaves change. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know if David got pictures of those trees, because he's quite the photographer.
Well, I know. I tried to. I actually did. I got out with my camera, and I was going to play with it, but there was power lines, and then there was a CVS store sign, and it just didn't, you know, I was focusing on something else, so it just didn't really work for the camera. But
I was going to say I really like the crispness in the air, and then we've had storms and rain the last couple of days, and I opened the door to let the dog out last night, and the rain, the sound of the rain and the leaves that are dying, it was just so, it's such a different sound. And so I just like stood in the door and listened to it for a little while.
Because
it's soothing. It's just soothing. So,
yeah. Well, I hope you each have a wonderful fall and get some pumpkin pie soon, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
All right. Well, I believe Crystal has the intro for us. So would you like to get us started?
Sure. So I have to admit to you all that this particular scripture at this particular point in my life was a tough one to work on. And so bear with me if I get a little emotional. At the end of August, I found out that I was pregnant with our fifth child. I had experienced two pregnancy losses between my oldest child and my youngest. And since this pregnancy was quite unexpected, I tried to get past that trepidation and just enjoy every single moment of this mystery of life. But unfortunately, at the end of September, our baby passed. And it has been a difficult and heartbreaking season to walk through as a mom and as a family. So today's scripture of Hannah rejoicing at God's provision of a child was a little sour. I remembered, though, that Hannah had suffered for years being barren. And we don't know the pain she went through or whether her barrenness included not only the inability to get pregnant, but perhaps the pain of not carrying a child to term. And as I read back in the previous chapter, how she responded struck me. Because God may have seemed so remote to her in that time. She goes to God in prayer. She's in such deep prayer that Eli believes that she is drunk. And he, for all intents and purposes, rebukes her. And she says, "No, my Lord, I am a woman deeply troubled. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation all this time." And when I read that, I thought she poured out her anger and her frustration and her pleas to God, who heard them. She shattered the silence that grief and loss so often create. She dared to pour forth her pain and struggles to her Creator, the one who could create new life in her and through her. And she goes in peace. And as I pondered this and its connection to today's scripture, I took a break to check Facebook. And as God would have it, I think this was a Holy Spirit moment for me, a memory came up. November 1st, 2009, I wrote, "After a year of struggle, loss, and pain, I feel extremely blessed. God's provision has been amazing." This came the day after I sat in my bedroom floor weeping. We were getting ready to take our 2-year-old to participate in the neighborhood Halloween parade, but I didn't feel like celebrating. I was an emotional mess. I was angry and sad, and I cried asking God, "Where are you?" I dared God to show up, paying little thought to the idea that perhaps God was right there. That next day, I found out I was pregnant with my son. My response was one of gratitude, not only for the blessing of the child, but for the love and the people that carried us through the darkness. God had shattered the silence with such light and hope that I was overwhelmed. And that is what I hear from Hannah in her song in today's reading. She says, "My heart exults in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in my victory. There is no holy one like the Lord, no one beside you. There is no rock like our God." And then she goes on to say, "The barren has borne 7, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low, he also exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world." The Creator levels the ground, as we hear in Hannah's words, and often in the words of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God hears the plight of the poor, of the downtrodden, of the least of these, and does not leave their side. If I have learned anything from Hannah and the darkness that grief can bring, it's that God sees us. God knows us. God does not abandon us. Whether it is the group of Muslims who raise funds for and offer protection for a mourning Jewish community in the wake of a hate-filled massacre, or the singing of mourners in a candlelight vigil for 2 African Americans gunned down by a racist while they were shopping for groceries. Whether it is the friend who sends me a message while I'm in the pit of my grief, or the beautiful, brilliant, red, rain-soaked leaf that lands at my feet and reminds me I am not alone. Hannah reminds us that God not only raises us from the dust, from the pain, from the blood-soaked streets, but that God hears the utterances of our very hearts. And God shatters the silence with the whispers of love.
Crystal, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your story. It occurred to me that you sit with Hannah. I was struck by something you said near the beginning of your remarks, that Hannah poured out her soul to God and shattered the silence that grief and pain often cause to happen. And you said it more eloquently than that, but I think that was the gist. And you sharing your story with us tonight did the same thing. Just last week, I was sitting with a group of people, and a young seminarian, male student, started asking the women in the room about their children. And there was a woman in the room for whom there was a lot of pain around that.
And I realized that he did not understand the pain connected to all of that, because we don't talk about pain that is so often associated with childbearing and child rearing. It's one of those things that you don't know how much emotion and pain can be involved with that until you're of that age when you and your friends begin to have kids. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I've spoken on here about my own loss too, but you sharing your story tonight was important for me. And I hope and imagine that it's important for people who are listening.
Thank you.
You tagged onto a lot of things that I talked about in my Bible background, but something you grabbed onto that I didn't recognize was this idea that in her first prayer when she was barren, and in these words that we hear from her in our text that we're focusing on today, she is pouring herself out. Mm-hmm. So we pour ourselves out both in grief and in joy. I feel like there's more connection in that. I feel like there's more energy around that. What kind of connections do you make?
I think we shy away from pouring out our grief to God. Mm-hmm. I think that's why it was so striking to me. That's when I read the scripture for today, I'm like, wait a second. Hannah was barren. Like, I had to go back and read it. And when I read it, I think we think that as Christians, we're supposed to be happy all the time and everything's great and oh, praise the Lord. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but
right.
You know, I've had several friends, like, you know, I mean, I have been downright mad with God and questioning. Sure. And I've had friends say, God can handle that. And I think that's something that we forget. I think we go back and we look at Job and we, you know, hear God say, well, who are you? Like, were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth? And we think that means that we don't have a right. So to say, I don't know how to, that we don't have a right to pour out our grief and our humanness to God. And then I'm like, but that's what God wants. God wants all of that. God doesn't just want these things that we think of as amazing and beautiful and in the praise and the hallelujahs. God wants the laments too, because God wants us to, I'm speaking for God as if I know, but I feel like God would want us to cry out as well in pain as well as in joy. And so I think Hannah just, like, it's just laid out for us right there in those two chapters. And that she turns everything over to God. Even this, we'll probably get into this at some other point, but this long-awaited child. Everything that she has, she just continues to give to God. And I think there's something instructive in that for us as we navigate life and all the things that happen in life.
She does. I remember as I was reading this, puzzling over trying to connect with why she had such joy about taking Samuel to the tabernacle. So just like the background of this is this prayer that we're looking at today, our particular text that we're studying today, are the words that Hannah proclaims after she has taken Samuel to be with Eli and to serve at the tabernacle. This is her returning her firstborn child back to God. And she comes out with these words. And I thought to myself, well, gosh, I dropped my kid off at kindergarten and left crying. Like, you know, there's just such a profound faith and gratitude that Hannah has. And in the Bible background video, I talk a little bit about this, about what it means to bear children in ancient Israel. The first prayer, I was struck by her prayer that you read when she's speaking to Eli and she says, I'm worthless. Like, there is no worth here in me because I cannot bear a child. And that was not simply her emotions. That was reality. A woman's worth in ancient Israel was in large part based on her ability to bear children. And so for her, there are multiple layers of why being able to bear a child is so important. And she sees this as a gift and a blessing from God.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that both in Nikki, your background for the video, and also Crystal in your comments, that, you know, there's this recognition that this passage says something about God's work in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That God is at work in ways we don't always understand or see. Talk to me a little more about what this passage is evoking around this idea of God at work in the world. Because, you know, honestly, we look at the world and it's hard not to just shake your head, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned in the intro, so in Louisville, there was a gunman who went into a Kroger and shot two African-American customers, one in the store itself and one out in the parking lot. And it was racially motivated. And I have a friend who that's her Kroger that she goes to. And she drove through shortly after this happened. And she made a comment because she needed to go back to the vigil. And I think when I first read the story of this happening, I started to focus on the darkness. But when she said that she went back to the vigil and there were so many people there and all the candles were lit and people were singing and hugging one another and praying, I think that is where I'm seeing the light come in. That is where I'm seeing the presence of God in the midst of such profound darkness. It gives me hope. It gives me hope that it reminds me that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. It reminds me that God is with us, that light has not been extinguished. So in the darkness of this world, when I hear about people joining together and loving one another, and that is when I go, okay, there is God. I see.
When I started thinking through this passage, I wrestled. When I read through it the first time, I thought, oh, great. Because I struggled to see the truth of it. I had to read it several times. I had to sit with it. And I had to wrestle with it. And so I was kind of grateful for the passage when it was all over, because it required me to really wrestle with what that meant about where God is at work in the world. And so I began to imagine where those things were, could be or might be happening. Those things that Hannah describes about the low being raised up and the high being brought down. And so it helped me think that oftentimes we have these ideas about how God works in the world, and that's what we look for without checking to see. And this is going to be me getting on my, I kind of have a high view of scripture. I think some people think I don't, but I've got a pretty high view of scripture. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times we look for God in the world based on what we grew up learning or what we hope God looks like in the world, or what we kind of feel like God looks like in the world because it feels right to us. But the truth of the matter is, scripture lays out for us what it looks like when God is at work in the world. And when God is at work in the world, it's when those who have been pushed to the margins and those who have been oppressed and those who have been hurt are finding their way back to wholeness. Mm-hmm. And it's when those who have caused that hurt and marginalization and oppression, their systems are being torn down. That is what it looks like when God is at work in the world. It was kind of interesting that Hannah had such a big picture view of what God looks like in the world when her struggle has been so intimate and personal and individual, right? Like, I found that juxtaposition. I don't even know if that's the right word for this, right? But that kind of sitting next to one another. She had this very personal experience of God saving her from her own individual grief and pain. But it caused her to think about the way that God works with all of us and in community and together. I found that, I don't even know that it means anything, but it impressed me about Hannah, I guess.
That feels like the gospel to me, though. I mean,
yeah,
when,
right?
When, I mean,
the good
when
news. Said,
the yeah. good news, because like I'm thinking about all these parables. You know, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like this lost coin. You know, all these little teeny tiny things, and it starts out so very small, and then it just explodes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the leaven that's put in for the bread to rise. And so it multiplies. And so like what you were saying, I was just there going, oh yeah, it's like the mustard seed, you know.
it's this
she could have this expansive view, I think, because God had touched her in such a personal way,
yeah,
that it opened her eyes to be able to see the scale on which God works in the world.
What a beautiful connection. That's
Well, I am struck by two things. Well, three right now. Hannah, Crystal, and Nikki. And verse one, just I kept reading it over and over as I was listening to this conversation. And the two words that struck me were heart and strength. It says, Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exults in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God." And what I have heard poured out tonight and in this passage is heart and strength. The heart and to be able to share honestly with God and with one another, and the strength to believe that God is greater than the darkness and will win. Thank you all for your heart and your strength.
Thank you. Thanks.
Faith Element is a service of Faith Lab.